Well, hello everyone, and welcome to Basic Binges, part of Nom Talk Network. On this show, we review popular shows while eating and drinking our binge-worthy snacks and drinks. If you're watching live, don't forget to redeem those channel points. It's been a long time since I've hosted and had channel points redeemed, so this will be interesting if any of you have been around. But it's always fun. My name is Jordan Orozco, and I'm your host for the evening. And right now, I'm just enjoying a nice little glass of bubbly rosé to finish the night. I had a wonderful vegan mac and cheeseburger earlier with some French fries, so I'm very full right now. So I got a tummy. But I would like to introduce my guests for the evening. Please welcome Ada, Eric, and Jasmine. It is so good to see you all. So good to meet both two of you. I haven't met Ada or Jasmine, so thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful stream. And Eric, it is always good to see you. I know last time we were together, we did Percy Jackson, and that was a really interesting and a fun little binge that we did. So it's really awesome. So if you don't know, we, like I said, eat our favorite drinks and snacks. So let's go to Ada. Ada, what are you snacking on? If anything, what's going on for the evening?
Well, not really snacking. I already ate dinner. I was really hungry when I got back home from work, so I had stir-fry udon with gyoza. And right now I'm just drinking a little bit of chi forest sparkling water.
Yummy. That sounds really good. Sounds better than what I ate because I'd prefer noodles over anything in life, right? So let's go to Eric. As always, good to see you. What are you chomping on? What are you not chomping on? What's going on?
Hello, hello. Well, much like Ada, I was starving, so I ate pizza earlier, but right now I'm snacking on a bunch of Starbursts because I'm a candy fanatic. I do have some tea here for Uncle Iroh. Then I have a
Yay.
twisted tea, which would get Uncle Iroh on a different level. So, trying to keep it in theme for the tonight's show.
I think Uncle Ira would definitely approve of the twisted tea. It's a little twist, right? And last but not least, Jasmine, it's good to see you. What are you snacking on? What are you chomping on, if anything? What's going on?
So very similar to the co-stars, I ate and I had Korean barbecue. But I do have this is the most random thing. I have a fire sauce packet from Taco
Nice.
Bell just vibing on my desk. It's not getting this one out. So there we go. And I will grab something to drink in a moment. But I want to say that sparkling water is delicious and I really like the white peach flavor at
Yes.
Costco's. It's so good. I love it.
I feel like that fire packet is on point for the evening. So no fault there. So in case any of you were wondering, based on my t-shirt and based on my background and based on Eric's background and based on sort of the intro, we are going to be talking about the live action Avatar: The Last Airbender episodes 1 through 3 on Netflix, right? This is something that I have been looking forward to since I was a huge fan and started watching Avatar: The Last Airbender on Nickelodeon. I definitely fell in love with that show as a kid and then also sort of in adulthood, rewatched it during COVID, rewatched it just in general when I'm bored and just kind of need a little uplift from life. And so I was really excited for this, right? So before we get into that, I just want to start and say we are back to fundraising for the Trevor Project. The Trevor Project is a nonprofit organization focused on suicide prevention efforts among LGBTQIA plus youth. You can find links in our bio anywhere that we are streaming, so that way you can donate to this wonderful organization. I've worked with them before in my regular job. I've worked to help bring sort of awareness to this organization. So it's wonderful and amazing and beautiful. And I'm really glad that the queer community, especially our queer youth, have something like this around. So please donate if you can. So let's get into this monstrosity of a series, right? So let's talk about episode one, right? This episode clearly is named Aang for the sole purpose of the fact that it's based around Aang and his sort of like his origin story and then Sokka and Katara's origins. So the whole beginning, right? We're talking about the book one of Water, for those of you that have watched the anime. So what I really appreciated about this episode, and I actually loved, was we got to see when Fire Lord Sozin basically just starts to overtake the world, right? And he starts to say, you know, we need to kill all of the airbenders because they have gotten wind that the next avatar and or you know the next avatar in line is going to be an airbender. So Sozin wants to definitely like get rid of that. I also love the references to Sozin's comet in the sky because that's when the firebenders are at their most powerful. So we see Fire Lord Sozin basically saying that you know, we see a spy saying that his plans are being sent to the Earth Kingdom already, but he's not worried about the Earth Kingdom because Sozin's crazy. He's like, no, we gotta like take out the freaking airbenders, right? And then we sort of pan over to Aang and Monk Gyatso, who basically was his mentor. We see this sort of like early development of like Aang and like that sort of flashbacks that we get in the anime. And then we see the Fire Nation attack the Northern Air Tribe, right? Which is definitely devastating, and it's definitely sort of a like a really like big kicker to start off the series. But I think it was definitely necessary, and I sort of enjoyed it because it gave sort of that background information for people that definitely don't know Aang and sort of like what's going on, right? So once that's over, Aang escapes. He's scared. And then he traps himself basically in the Avatar State in a block of ice, and then he's not to be heard from, right? And then basically a century later, we run into Sokka and Katara, who are in the sorry, this is gonna they're in the Northern Water Tribe, right?
Southern Water Tribe.
Southern Water Tribe, thank you. I always get like I always like it just gets so confusing. So they're in the Southern Water Tribe, and we see sort of like their characters sort of portray who they were. Sokka is sort of like the protector of their tribe, right? Like he's sort of training these younger like kids to sort of like be the soldiers for the town. And then we see Katara, who's definitely struggling with the fact that like she is a waterbender. She knows she is. We don't know what's going on. I definitely loved how the characters were like. We saw Gran Gran. We saw all of these like sort of like NPCs of like the Avatar universe come to play in this episode, and I really appreciated it. And then we basically see Sokka and Katara discover Aang. Basically he breaks out, Appa's there as well. They don't know what to make of him, and then basically we see the Fire Nation come in, we see Uncle Iroh, and we see oh my God, oh my God, Zuko,
Zuko?
thank you. We see Zuko come in. He's on the hunt for the Avatar. We don't know why yet. They come in, they attack the Water Tribe. Basically, Aang basically surrenders and says, "You can take me." They want me because he doesn't want any of the Water Tribe members to get killed or anything. So they take him. There's this moment between Uncle Iroh and Aang, which I think starts that like intense sort of relationship that fosters, you know, what happens later on in the Avatar's journey and Aang's journey with Iroh basically, you know, if, spoiler alert, by the way, everybody, with basically like Iroh basically supporting the Avatar and supporting Zuko in that journey. And then after that, Aang gets rescued by Sokka Katara on top of Appa. They escape and basically they decide that they need to go to the Northern Air Temple to see if any of Aang's people are alive because, again, Aang's been trapped. They get to the air temple, and Aang basically discovers that all of his tribe has been eliminated by the Fire Nation. Aang basically gets upset. He goes into the Avatar state, and then he has this sort of like moment with Gyatso, and like sort of like this like flashback, not really spiritual moment, where Gyatso basically comforts him, and then he is basically calmed down. And that basic that sort of like is towards the end of the episode, and that's how we end episode one. There's a lot I can say about this episode with inconsistencies, with a lot of other things. But before I get to what I want to say, I'm going to get to my lovely guest. So let's start with you, Jasmine. What did you think of episode one, Aang? What were your initial thoughts? What were your initial feelings?
Solid introduction. I think it's moving a little fast paced, and I think they're trying to capture a lot more. My favorite character is Uncle Iroh. So starting him off at that step, in the animated series, you could already see that Iroh has a soft side towards Zuko, and he's telling him to be patient. And he like fiercely is like defending his nephew. So he already is like not like portrayed as evil, but we could see him already steadily going on to like the good path, or speeding up pretty much that timeline, because Iroh doesn't come around until season like two on Aang's side. So I feel like they're trying to speed up his timeline a little bit, which I love because I actually love the actor as well that's playing. And I think that was so well cast. So a few casts was like I was worried about, but I think so far from the introduction, it was a pretty good solid intro, and I think it dives us into the world and sums up what's happening. I do like that background story because with Sozin and what happens, and that does not happen in the animated series, by the way. We don't get that background episode one, or we don't really get that background much at all until we really find out a lot more why the Fire Nation's doing what they're doing. So I do like that background. I think it helps people understand like the setting, and so I think it was a good start. It was a solid start. As a Avatar fan, I approve.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. I think, like I said before, I was a huge like I was definitely standing that like introductory, that like background, the origin stories of what happened. I think if I was somebody that had just watched this, that didn't watch, the anime, I would definitely be like, okay, that makes sense. Like I can see why this sort of story and this arc is happening. So I definitely agree with you. Ada, let's go to you. What did you think of this first episode? What did you think of what went on?
So I went into the entire first episode with normal expectations, not too low, not too high, so that I can kind of, grasp and absorb everything. And I actually really enjoyed it from beginning to end. I do agree that it felt really rushed, that they were trying to compress a lot of content. But for someone that doesn't know, like I've already watched the whole animated series, so I know how everything is broken down. But just seeing how everything is, and for someone that doesn't know or is very familiar with Avatar, it's a really good way to introduce them, especially to the Air Temple, knowing who the Air Nomads are, who Aang is, and everybody that's included with the Southern Water Tribe, and then also the Fire Nation. The pacing could have been a little better, but overall, it was very entertaining. I was not disappointed.
Yeah, I think both of you have said that like it was a little fast, and it was because they covered at least I think 4 or 5 or 6 episodes in the anime in 1 hour in this thing, and I was like, holy shit, because I remember like just the journey to the Northern Air Temple was an entire episode, and then the when Aang got caught. Like, and then was on the Fire Nation ship. That was like an entire episode, right? So we're getting these condensed episodes, I think, for us that are fans, right? Like we're getting this like this is too fast. But I think I was trying to put myself in the perspective of like if I had never seen Avatar like as a cartoon, like or as the anime, like is this something that's digestible? And I think it was. Like I think it was something that was like, okay, cool. Like I get it. Like it's definitely something that somebody that hadn't watched it, and
It's
if they
something
watched it.
that people are able to easily understand and actually grasp on who these characters are, like who the core characters are. They get to know Aang, they get to know Sokka, Katara, Zuko, and then of course getting to know the big guy, Appa and everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. And then Eric, let's go to you. What did you think of this first episode?
I was very impressed with the beginning of getting to see the destruction of the airbenders and the air temple and everything like that. I did love the backstory of it to see all of that. Plus to see that initial like thing between the earthbender running away from the Fire Nation to let them know. Like I thought that was brilliant. I loved that they added that. Much like what Ada and Jasmine have just said, it is very much rushed. And I get it, like I didn't expect to come into this like getting everything from the anime, even though technically the animes are only like 22 to 25 minutes long and we have hour episodes, so they could have done a little bit more. I'm not mad at it completely. My thing ending this first episode was they and this I got this a little bit more coming into like episode like 3. It seems to me like they're taking the fun and the whimsy that the anime was, the animated anime, they're taking that fun and whimsy out of it. Like they're giving us a lot of information and cool stuff and story and everything, but this whole entire anime was There was a liveliness and a fun to it that I haven't gotten yet, which is kind of disappointing for me.
Yeah, so that is my biggest critique of this entire series is it's very lackluster. It's almost like the director told the actors, dim down what's in the anime and then act like normal people. And that's how I feel. And for me, this is spread throughout the entirety of the cast and of the actors. I feel like there isn't that, like, that muchness to everything, right? Like Katara is very sweet, but Katara also has a very fierce side. She's a mama bear, but she's also like, excuse my language, she's a fierce bitch. And I don't get that from this actress. I don't get like there's nothing. And then Sokka too, like, yeah, he cracks a joke once in a while, but Sokka's very like eccentric. He's very out there. He's very like, well, I don't know what's going on. And I don't get that from this actor. And I think that is my biggest critique overall, is I feel like it's like the shine has been taken away and it's a little bit more dimmed down. That's just me though. And maybe I'm expecting too much, especially from the anime. But I feel like this Aang is a little bit too grown up for this sort of like series. He's not a kid, like he's a kid. Like he's like a young kid discovering the world around him. And it's not until I would say even the last season of Avatar: The Last Airbender where we see Aang become an like he has to become an adult ultimately in order to defeat Fire Lord Ozai, right? And so I think that's my number one thing that's going on is I watched it and I am entertained. I'm totally entertained, but I'm also like something's not right. Something's missing. And so I definitely like this episode though. I definitely feel like it gave the series a good start to it.
So
Let's move into oh, go ahead, Eric.
what I've heard is because the original writers of the show backed out like early on. What I've heard is they've taken Aang to make him more mature for us mature audience so they can bring us in, even though we're already in it. They dumbed down Sokka and they dumbed down Katara per the writing to make it more towards our generation, even though our generation is already in it. That's kind of like what they have done. And like you said, they've taken down the muchness of it, which is sad.
Yeah, and it's also too, like it's like I said, it's spread across the board for me. Like it's like Uncle Iroh, like he is like, yeah, he gets serious, yeah, he's a badass, but he also gets super quirky at times, and I don't get that from this actor, right? Like I don't get like, oh, what's going on here? Like I don't get that at all. It's more of just like, oh, I'm gonna say some quips. Same thing with Zuko. Zuko, like it seems like when he gets angry, it's forced. It's not like this guttural like, I have a vendetta. I have to prove something to somebody, at least for me, right? Like, I'm not saying they're not doing a good job, but I'm saying like I think across the board, somebody told these people like dumb it down, like right? And that's just me. That's just kind of like what I see. Let's move on to episode two. This episode was named Warriors for very much so the right reasons. This was our Kyoshi Island episode, right? I remember this being like a three or four part, or it was like a two or three part episode series within the anime. And I loved this bit of the entire series. This was probably one of my favorite moments. So we sort of get to know our characters more. They're flying on Appa, and we sort of see we sort of like Momo's with us, by the way. Momo came with us in the first I think it was the first episode when they went to the Northern Air Temple. And so Momo's with us. We got Sokka, we got Katara, we got Appa, and we have Aang. We have the core Avatar group with us. They're talking, they're on Appa's back, and they're headed to Kyoshi Island, since that's what Aang, that was the last Avatar, right? That was the last Avatar, or was it the
It was
Fire
Roku.
Lord? Yeah, it was Roku, but I think before it was Kyoshi, no?
No, it was Roku,
It was
then it
Kyoshi
went
before.
water, and then it was Kyoshi, I think.
Oh, yeah. So they're going to Kyoshi because that's the only lead that they have when it comes to contacting the Avatar, like somebody in the Avatar, and Aang wants to know. So they go to Kyoshi Island. Katara discovers that she has been gifted a water bending scroll by Gran Gran, which I was like, I got a little, this never happened in the anime, so I was really excited to sort of like see sort of like Katara's origin story play out with this scroll and Gran Gran sort of saying this is that. I also want to point out, and I don't know if it's in this episode, but how Katara's water bending is muted by the fact that she saw her mother get murdered by a Fire Nation individual when she was trying to hide Katara. And I really like that because we don't really get that in the beginning of the anime. We sort of get that in chunks, right, in pieces, and we don't really see that happening. And so I like that sort of, thing for her. We also get Zuko and Iroh, who are on the ship. They're hunting rumors of of somebody who saw a flying something over and headed towards Kyoshi Island. And then they land on an island where we get introduced to the infamous Commander Zhao, right? Who is definitely the villain of Book One Water in the anime. And so I definitely loved that they introduced him here. Obviously they had to. And if for those of you that don't know, that hasn't seen the anime, obviously Zuko is trying to prove that he should be, he was sort of like 86 from the Fire Nation by his dad, and said that the only way you can come back in and get on my good graces is basically find the Avatar for me. So Zuko and Iroh sort of entrust certain things with Commander Zhao. Commander Zhao convinces them that he can be trusted, but we know he can't. And so all this stuff just sort of happens. He hears that there's a rumor that the Avatar is headed to Kyoshi Island. They find out that Commander Zhao leaves without Zuko's permission and all that stuff. And so that happens on that. We shoot over to the island, and basically our wonderful core group lands on this island. They don't know what's going on. They see that there's a big statue of Avatar Kyoshi there. And Kyoshi's eyes shine, and they know that they're in the right place. They basically go to the village, and they're not really greeted very welcome. They first get captured though by the Kyoshi warriors, who are an all-female warrior clan that is dedicated to the protection of Kyoshi, the Kyoshi city, or the village that's on Kyoshi Island. They get taken to the chief, who is the mother of one of the Kyoshi warriors. I always forget her name. Who's the one that Sokka? Suki, right? Suki.
Suki.
Yeah, so Suki, we get introduced to Suki, which I was so happy because Suki becomes a pivotal, just like a pivotal aspect of the Avatar Corps team later on. And I was really happy to see that. I thought that the costumes, the makeup, everything a part of Kyoshi Island was beautiful. I thought the village was great. I thought the fact that, because we don't get, the mom is not the, ch correct me if I'm wrong, y'all, the mom is not the chief in the anime, right?
No, it's this
No.
guy who wants to put Aang under like trial thing.
Yeah, basically, which total, right, like total 180 from the anime in this one. So basically they decide to let the Avatar and his team stay there for 48 hours to research Kyoshi and whatever happened, right? Little do they know that the Fire Nation is on their way to Kyoshi Island. They basically land. They attack the island, and before that, Aang basically tries to go into the Avatar state or go into the spirit world to contact Avatar Kyoshi because he needs help. So eventually, he contacts Avatar Kyoshi. This is a different Avatar Kyoshi than we see in the anime. She's very harsh, very strict, almost yelling, sort of like degrading Aang and saying, like, you need to grow up. You need to, you need to sort of embrace who you are and embrace the Avatar. Long story short, Zuko is about to attack Aang and Katara's interfering. And then Kyoshi basically possesses Aang and basically like fucks the Fire Nation up on Kyoshi Island. And basically Commander Zhao retreats from the village. And then Zuko retreats. They all sort of like, go away, which is definitely a 180 from the anime. That didn't happen, which I was kind of disappointed with. I was like, that this is not what's going on. But it was a really cool scene. I won't deny that. It was really cool to kind of see Avatar Kyoshi come out. Very awesome. Basically the village is saved. And Aang knows where he has to go next, in order to sort of learn more about his past. And then my favorite part of the episode, is when we get introduced to our Fire Lord Ozai, played by the wonderful and amazing fine ass Daniel Day Kim. I was like, yes, oh my God, daddy. I was so excited to see this. And basically, he gets word from Commander Zhao that Zuko has found the Avatar. And that's how the episode ends. Let's get into it for let's start with you, Eric, since you ended the first episode. What did you think about episode two, Warriors?
I enjoyed this episode. I liked what they did with Kyoshi, like everything about her, like her fight scene, like what they gave her, everything like that. I thought it was brilliant. My just and like the island and meeting everybody. Great casting with Commander Zhao. Like I thought he was like the best casted probably in this entire series that I've met so far. Like he definitely handled it. My disappointment in this was Suki. Like she was never this like weird, kind of awkward girl who was just like looking at Sokka and everything like that. Which, on the other end of that, they have changed Sokka's character so much that they didn't give him his first initial like transition into who he becomes later on in the series with Suki. That was my real big issue with it, is they both changed their character so much. It was just kind of awkward. And I get it, you have to do it because she's going to be a part of the main team. But you let me down with that one. But overall, episode was really cool. I love the fighting scenes. I love the costumes, everything like that. But it was those two were just kind of a letdown for me in this episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was Suki was I was like, what? So the first time she like came across not the first time, but like the second time where she like encounters him in the woods, like this was after like she discovered him shirtless in the hut. I was like, okay, that's a little okay, weird. And then they're like and she's like acting all weird. I'm like, why are you acting like that? Like what's going on? Like you're this fierce warrior and you're like getting super anxious around this dude, right? So I definitely agree with you. I will say I will say for argument's sake, looking at it and trying to look at it from an outside perspective, I think that story arc in this first episode made sense for somebody that doesn't have that background, right? Like with the anime where I'm like, oh, they like each other. Oh, I can see this going on, right? Like, oh, that he's teaching her, she's teaching him how to fight, like, and you can kind of see that like progressing, and then they fight together, which I thought was beautiful. I thought like when they fought and like when they were doing all that stuff, I was like, that's awesome, because we don't really get that in this sort of like in the first Kyoshi Island anime thing. We don't get that in this. I was like, okay, cool, that's cool. And then obviously they kiss in the end, but you're right, it was a little weird to see that sort of play out, and the fact that their characters weren't necessarily fleshed out yet, right? So it was just weird, right? Let's go to you, Ada. What did you think about episode two?
I thought episode two was pretty good. I was really anticipating seeing the Unagi when you see them flying into the
I
island.
know.
And I was like, we get to see the Unagi, we get to see the Unagi, and it didn't happen. And I was like, maybe later, maybe later. But overall, it was fine. I didn't need to see the Unagi. I really thought it was really cool how they had the whole depiction of when Aang is meeting Kyoshi. With the statue, he's sitting in front of the statue, and that beam of light comes down at him. I thought, okay, that works. Like in the anime series, he just kind of like gets into that trance and he starts, connecting with the previous avatar. But with this, seeing it visually and being very organic, you have to show like how is he going to go ahead and connect with the previous avatar, and the light from the eyes and the beam of light made sense. I was also. I don't know if anyone also was anticipating it. Sokka wearing makeup and wearing the Kyoshi Warrior outfit. I really, really, really wanted to see that because that was like the best part of that whole episode too, was seeing Sokka in that whole getup.
Well, that was another thing that I was mentioning with like his whole like Suki being like changing his perspective on who he is and being kind of chauvinistic, putting him into the outfit, but they've taken that whole entire character arc out of this series. So there's really no necessary to put him in that, even though I wanted it so much.
True.
Yeah, I literally, so I was watching this like in my living room because the bigger TV and like my parents were like in and out, and then like I was waiting for the Unagi to put out the fires in the village, and it didn't happen. Oh, did I lose you? Oh, am I back?
You're good.
Okay,
Yeah,
sorry.
you're good.
Y'all froze for like 2 seconds. I was like, oh God. No, so like what I was saying, and I don't know if you got this, but like I was waiting because in the anime, the Unagi puts out the fires that the Fire Nation starts in the village, and it didn't happen. And so I was like, no. And so like I was like, but what about the Unagi? And my parents were like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, you don't understand. You don't understand Avatar. So it was, yeah, that was definitely something that I was like, no, like didn't happen. And Jasmine, let's go to you. What did you think about episode two?
I love the Kyoshi Warriors. They're one of my favorite aspects of Avatar. I'm disappointed because I think this is the first, so I don't know if you guys recall, but there was like right before, maybe a month before the series came out, there was these talks about what they did to the characters, especially Sokka's. And Sokka's got the most amount of feedback and traction online, where they were talking about how they're changing Sokka's character, where he's no longer, this, chauvinistic, I hate to say it, but like nowadays, like a fuck boy, essentially. Like he's just annoying and full of himself, and he learns his lesson, and he has this beautiful character development. I mean, of all the characters, I think we see it the most with him. And they stripped him of it, and they said, oh, we don't want to, have this type of, attitude in these shows. But I was like, I understand where you're coming from, but the growth is so fundamentally important, not just for the show, but for people in general, to show that you could be somebody else, you could mature. So he was immature, he matures through the series. And we don't get that. And so I think this is the first indication where we see that he's a different character than he is from the animated series. There is a diversion there. And they are speeding up, like I said, they're speeding up the timeline and they're including things. So I know that they watch the whole thing because they're taking scenes from season two and three and throwing it into season one. Like Suki and Sokka fighting doesn't really happen until they're jailed in the Fire Nation jail way later on. See, I can't remember, either late season two or season three even. I think it's season three because Toph is already part of their crew at this point. And when they're in the jail, that's when they fight together, and so they're taking like bits and pieces here and there. And it's not, I'm not happy about it. Kyoshi, the avatar, she is a very intense woman. Like I remember in the animated series, she came off like pretty hard. And so I feel like they expanded on that a bit. I was like, I don't know if that's a direction we want to go to with the very rough juxtaposition of Suki being very shy and a flirt, or like falling in love with Sokka. That's something that she like fell into as well. So like these sped up timelines, and sped up growth character arcs is, I think it's we're stripping Avatar of its charm. And so you said something earlier about how they're extreme versions of themselves, right? You'll have like Suki and an extreme soft version of her, and then you'll have the Kyoshi avatar, in an extreme angry version of her. And I'm not sure why they're doing that, but I do want to note that Avatar, the animated series, I've seen it dozens and dozens of times. I fall asleep to it. It's my comfort watch. And they are removing that. They remove that. So it's very gritty. And I'll save it till the end, but it's interesting how Netflix decides to go about their animated series or live action anime adapted series, because they pretty much hit the nail with One Piece, but they sped up Yu Yu Hakusho, and they made it a lot more darker and grittier. So but One Piece really hit that charm, where you still can have that nice balance of like the characters being silly and speeding up the timeline a little bit for the live action. So I'm wondering what happened here. And like you said, the writers left, and or the directors left, sorry, for the series. And now I think we know why. I think it's coming to light very quickly that they changed so much so quickly that the directors couldn't stay on board. So I also was waiting for the Unagi. I loved that, and I thought it was really powerful. And it's our first really venture into seeing like these these monsters in the Avatar world, which are incredibly impressive, and become even more prevalent in part two, Korra, when she gets into the spirit world, and there's a whole season of her in the spirit world. So I was really hoping to see that. And it's very interesting. I do like, though, so I give credit where credit's due. Katara having that growth is really important. She doesn't get a water scroll until later. And then we don't have that background of her struggling, learning from the background of where she gets her water skills from, because Aang falls into issues when he's in the Avatar state and he gets knocked out by Azula later on. He has to relearn airbending. So does Zuko when he changes from, and this is an anime series, sorry if this is like spoilers and somebody didn't see the anime series, but when Zuko changes from evil to good, eventually down the line, he also has to relearn how to firebend. So I feel like they balanced it out and they said, you know what, let's give Katara that and let her learn where her waterbending is coming from and her struggles. And she even, in the animated series, she has a struggle where she's learning how to waterbend, be a stronger waterbender, and Aang picked it up like this. So I'm glad that they gave her a little more love. I'm glad that Katara is getting some more attention and background story. Things like that, creative additions like that, I appreciate. It's the subtractions, like taking away that charm, and that lighthearted feeling that Avatar gives you, where you're like, that was a nice episode. You leave like feeling good, you know? They stripped it of that and they made it a little more grittier. So pros and cons. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think my biggest gripes with this episode, the smaller being the Unagi, I was like, oh, it's not there. I'm like, ugh. But I think the bigger aspect for me was in the anime, Aang is put on trial at Kyoshi Island, and Kyoshi doesn't show up until the very last minute and basically explains why Kyoshi Island was separated from what was it? Not Kang the Conqueror, but it was like Jang the Conqueror. I forgot who it was, but basically it was like a tyrannical earthbender who wanted to take over. They didn't want to bend to that. So they all blamed Kyoshi for his death, but basically because she separated the islands, he fell to his death because the rocks were crumbling and it wasn't basically her fault, which is why they put Aang on trial in the first place. And so, because he was atoning for basically Kyoshi's justice that they wanted to bring Kyoshi, Avatar Kyoshi to. And so that was my biggest gripe was I was like, dang, like this didn't happen that way, but it definitely made sense for this episode. I think it like it somebody looking at it from the outside who hasn't seen, I was like, oh, okay, that's actually pretty cool, right? Like he can get possessed by previous avatars and just fuck everybody up, right? Like that's what I would have gotten. And I think that gives credence to the fact that like what power Aang definitely has. In this world and in this sort of series. And so, excuse me, I think it was definitely something that made sense for that. But, you know, as a fan, I would have liked to have seen it play out differently. But that is what it is. Let's see. We have some chat. So Vienna Mori just cheered 100 bits. Timspiration. But you can't have an arc if you start everyone at perfectly developed, like they super robbed the Kyoshi Warriors and Suki and Sokka, because there's no development or perspective change to be made. It felt like the character arcs were pretty flat. And then Nomtok Network redeemed Hydrate. So everybody, please take a sip of whatever you are drinking.
Should I open
Please
it
do.
in the
Please don't
fireball?
hydrate with fire sauce. That's hilarious. Yeah. So let's go. We have like 15 minutes left. Let's head straight into episode three. This was definitely when I saw the title of the episode, which is Omashu, I got super excited because this is definitely part of the Avatar series where it's just so awesome. And Aang definitely like it's one of my favorite episodes in the anime of all time. So I was really excited to see it. So we get our first intro to the Princess Azula and Ozai talking about. And arguing about what's going on, who does this, who is that. And then Ozai basically gives Azula the letter, basically saying that Zuzu found the Avatar. And basically she is death. Here starts her arc, right? Her jealousy, her I'm always in the shadow of my brother arc, even though she's really not. And so we get that in this episode. We definitely see the gang headed to Omashu. They definitely need to get in. They don't know how. And so we meet, and I knew it from the jump before he even got introduced. We meet the one and only Jet, who is on a cart trying to sneak into Omashu, and basically gets them and says, "Here, put this on." They go in disguise, and they Jet sneaks them in to Omashu, where we learn that Omashu is not everything as it seems, and Aang basically discovers that it's not like it was when he was when he was a younger person before he got encased in ice, or he encased himself in ice. And then we get, yeah. What did you say?
I said 100 years ago.
Yeah, a
Yeah.
hundred years ago, right? Things have changed clearly. We get introduced to the Mechanist and Teo, who are basically like this pivotal part of Omashu and the journey that the gang goes through in regards to going through this town, right? Or going through this massive earthbending city that's free of Fire Nation rule. We get introduced to what the Mechanist does. We get introduced to the fact that Teo is handicapped, but he can fly. He uses the wind currents because of the inventions of his father and himself. We also get introduced to the terrorism that's being done in Omashu, and they are convinced that it is Fire Nation that sets bombs and that explodes things and it kills innocent people. And so they are doing everything that they can to quell these sort of Fire Nation attacks that are happening. We definitely get introduced to Jet when I think it was when the it was Zuko and Iroh, correct, that start attacking. Oh no, sorry. Basically, they find that the Mechanist is involved in some type of dealings with the Fire Nation and the spy. And as Katara is following him, that's when she meets Jet. And then she's thrust into this world of Jet's gang. I actually thought the casting of Jet's gang was great. I thought they did a really awesome job. Pipsqueak and all of them, I thought it was really cool just being introduced to them and sort of seeing a face to the name. Especially his name, oh shit, his name is Longshot, the one that does the bow, right? He was awesome. I was like, perfect, because he doesn't speak at all, a lot, in especially in the anime. I thought that portion and like earning Katara's trust was really good. And she's convinced that they're, you know, that they're fighting for the cause, doing the thing, right? Long story short, him and sorry, Katara and Sokka get into an argument, and the fact that like Sokka doesn't trust Jet. Katara's convinced that he's doing stuff for good, and she's like, no, he's like, no, we need to investigate. We need to investigate what's going on. So long story short, Aang and Teo investigate into these bombings, and so does Katara and Sokka. Or Sokka stays behind with the Mechanist to learn. So Katara is basically on her own, trying to like investigate what's going on. Long story short, Aang and Teo basically find out that Jet's gang is behind the bombings in Omashu. And Katara basically finds out and that Jet is basically the bad guy in the situation, and basically is the one that's planning these bombs because he wants to take down the Fire Nation so bad. So the Mechanist and Teo basically are taking up plans to the Earth King to show him, and basically Jet's gang switches them for a bomb that they basically want to set off when they give it to the Earth King, so they kill the Earth King. While Katara, Aang, and Sokka all try to stop it, they eventually do, thank God, by the almighty gods of whoever they are, they stop it, and basically the Earth King gets saved. They This whole MacGuffin thing happens, and then correct me if I'm wrong. Basically, all is revealed. Zuko and Uncle Iroh are in Omashu. They basically find Aang, and then it enlists a fight where Zuko is like chasing Aang. It's actually kind of cool because this is kind of what happens when like Zuko and Aang fight in Omashu, where it's kind of like quirky, where they're like fighting in a marketplace. So I thought that fight was actually pretty cool to see, because it kind of was like, ooh, oh, and then like, Zuko gets like entangled in the thing, and like, you know, he's Aang's using airbending, Zuko's using firebending, all that stuff. Long story short, that we end with Aang getting arrested by the Omashu earthbending police, and then he goes, uh-oh, and then that's where we end, right? So that's basically the entire like episode sort of summed up in a little bit. Let's try to get through this. We don't have to speed. I just want to talk. So let's start with you, Jasmine. What did you think about episode three, Omashu, and what happened in this episode?
I think this episode was pretty good. I like how they included Jet. I was hoping that they do because Katara has a huge crush on Jet, and it shows a little bit of her character in that as well. That's where we get her softness from when we realize that, and then she learns a hard lesson, and we realize that it's not all black and white, and there's different people being impacted by the war in between these nations and the bender and the benders specifically. And Jet plays a pivotal role. Because we do see him again in the animated series. So, and in the animated series, something, tragic happens to him at the end. So I'm glad that they showed him. I like the fight scenes. I think they were really well done. The special effects is great. So I did enjoy this episode. I'm a big Azula fan. I love Azula. I know that's a very, very controversial opinion, but she's one of the strongest characters I've seen, and it shows the complexities that she deals with. So I'm glad that the actress is doing a fantastic job. And she is a big nerd herself, and I think it really helps. So I know that she's an Avatar fan already. And she's a gamer, and so she's adorable. I love her. I'm a big fan of her. I think they casted her so well. So I'm excited to finally see her, and I'm hoping they do her growth arc justice. Of any of the characters, I think Azula's Descent into Madness, it would be a fantastic arc to watch.
Yeah,
That's it for
I
me.
def yeah, I definitely agree with you. Azula basically is one of the most intense characters in the Avatar universe, right? Like we see this sort of like this progression of like how jealousy can become vengeance, and then vengeance can become obsession, and then obsession leads to this craziness and this like psychosis where she's just like I'm just gonna I will burn the world down because I need to prove my it's almost like the opposite side of the same coin of Zuko, right? Like she needs to prove herself so bad that it leads into that madness. So I definitely w would love to see her character progress more in that way. She wasn't like obviously you were geared to hate her because of what's going on, but I definitely feel like there was some empathy I felt towards Azula in the anime series where like you get those flashbacks of her and her mom talking and her mom being like, you are loved, you are cared for and all that stuff. And she's just like, no, I'm not. Like I'm just a machine, like I'm just a weapon. Like this is what I am. And so I'm definitely looking forward to that. Let's go to you, Ada. What did you think about episode three?
I thought the episode three for Omashu was okay. Again, I felt like this one was another one where they tried to pack in as much as possible, because I think the whole introduction to Omashu was over what, like a few episodes, right? I can't really remember how many episodes, but I remember there was like a long time frame of episodes where you get to know everything about Omashu. Again, for someone that's familiar with the content, I can see that it was just way too much being put into like a very small time frame. But for someone that doesn't know about it, it's good. And I feel that I've been hearing everybody saying, like, well, if you're not really a following Avatar, if you really don't know about the entire series or anything like that, it's just good. And I want it to be more than just good. Like, I want it to be great. I want people to want to know and be curious about the whole series and want to go ahead and see the animated series and see, like, okay, this is really cool. Oh, this came from a cartoon. I'm gonna go and check out the cartoon. And really have that great appreciation that I did. Like, I jumped into Avatar at a very, very, very late age, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So I really enjoyed all the animated episodes, and then seeing and hearing that they were going to do a live action of the show, I was like, great, this is going to be amazing. So, but I just know that you're supposed to separate animation, live adaptations, just so that you're not going to be disappointed. So again, episode three for me was just okay. It was good. It was entertaining. I enjoyed it. I loved all the CG, all the graphics, everything that went along with it, all the clothing that everybody was wearing as well. And of course, being introduced to earthbending, which is my favorite. I mean, it's my favorite, so.
Yeah, I agree. So both you and Jasmine have said that like the CGI, I definitely love the bending that they've done with the CGI. I think it looks amazing, right? Including just all the elements that they have. Fire looks great. I think that air looks great, even water, right? Like and earth bending for sure. Like it's more realistic. I
Yes.
like and I like how they've sort of kept to the fighting styles of each one of the bendings, right? Like, so we get like the Tai Chi of the water, we get a lot of the other aspects, the more intense aspects of the fire bending. And I feel like it's way better. Definitely better than the fucking movie. But like, I just feel like it gives it more of a better like feel for when it looks more realistic, right?
I
Even
like
though we
what
know,
Like when
yeah.
they're actually using their earthbending powers, like you can feel the force, like you can sense
Yeah.
it. It felt great. I was like, this is really good. Like I'm like graphics. I'm like, this is amazing. Like I wish I could just like do everything that they're doing as well.
You're like, I want to kick a boulder out from the ground. Jeez.
Yeah.
This is a bit Camelon type airbending or firebending or
Yeah.
waterbending.
Yeah, no. And then last but not least, finally, let's go to you, Eric. What did you think about episode Omashu?
So overall, I did enjoy this episode. I get it. They do, like I've said before, they do have to condense stuff. I'm a little disappointed that we didn't see the Western Air Temple so we could meet the mechanic and then meet Jed at a different point, everything. So I get it that they just combined everything because that's where they were going anyway. And I'm not completely mad at this episode. They did what they had to do. The airbending looked great. The sets looked great. The costumes looked great. They progressed the story. And like I've said before, this like that muchness that we have mentioned before was taken out of it. This episode was the one that really pointed me to it because when they first get into Omashu in the anime, he has fun. They go sliding on the transport delivery system and everything like that. And then we're not going to get into this episode until next week, but like with King Boomy and all of that, that was my real letdown of this series. That whole episode. But I enjoyed this. I do think that Jet Sebastian Amoranzu would have played a better Zuko than the guy who they cast as Zuko. Because like you mentioned earlier, it seems like he's straining when he gets angry, to where I feel like Sebastian just innately did it because that's who Jet is. But overall, it was an okay episode for me. They did what they did. That's what
Yeah, I feel like
I do have to say, what I am impressed about this series, though, with like the waterbenders being natives and then the firebenders being of Asian descent and then the earthbenders being of like Indian descent and stuff like that. Like, I am very impressed with their casting for this show. They definitely diversified it and were like, this is what it is. Let's do it. Let's go full all in. So I do give them that. I am proud of them for that.
Yeah, I think and that's something that if people didn't notice that to begin with, it's clearly like overt, right? Like you can see it, like in that there was an effort to make that like casting decision. And I like to me it's like cool, but like it also like that's how do I say this? Like when I was watching the anime, I was like, oh, there's clear representation from sort of like these different cultural aspects of these like of all the tribes, right? And of all the nations. But when you see it in person, it makes it a better dynamic, right? It makes the series a little bit more richer and it makes it just more enjoyable, I think, right? Like, because if you do something like, like the movies did, where you just like whitewash all of the characters, it doesn't add to anything. And it actually takes away from like what it really needs to be. And I feel like they have sort of got it spot on when it comes to casting in this. So I definitely agree with you. In this episode, I think my only gripe was the fact that it was like rushed. Like I feel like the Jet Saga and like his whole gang like lasted a while. And I feel, yeah, my definite gripe is going to be the next episode, episode 4. I had a lot to say about that after I watched it. And I wanted to shoot my TV. And then, like, for me, the worst episode is episode 5 so far. So, like, we'll get into that next week. But I feel like these first three episodes, if anything, like, if I had a partner or somebody, I was like, hey, let's watch the real life series first. Okay, wait, I'm gonna blow your mind. Let's watch the anime now, right? I feel like this would be a really good introduction to it. And then I feel like the anime just enhances sort of like what's going on with this. And so I feel like they did what they needed to do in order to make it digestible for general audiences. However, I feel like they could have gone in a very different direction. I feel like there, for as long as the episodes are, there should have been more. In this entire series. So instead of 8, maybe do 10, and then maybe do a little bit more, like 20 minutes here, 20 minutes there, of Aang going on these side quests to like really enhance the character of Aang and who he is as an avatar. I feel like that would have been something. But for the sake of argument's sake, I feel like these first three episodes were a good introduction into the series. And then it gets more intense as we move along, right? And so, yeah. So it's 9 o'clock, so thank you all so much for joining us. This was definitely an interesting series, and I'm really excited to get involved in into a conversation about the rest of the episodes. And so, as you all know, that was Avatar: The Last Airbender on Netflix, episodes 1 through 3. Shout out to all my guests tonight, Ada, Eric, and Jasmine. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for giving your opinions. I hope I see you all next week and the weeks after to finish out the entire series. But before we leave, let everybody know where we can find you. Let's start with you, Jasmine. Where are you on the socials?
Jasmine Joestar on everything. So you can find me on all social media platforms there. And I actually released earlier this week a video of me interviewing the entire main voice actor cast of the animated series. So if you are an Avatar fan, I would highly recommend watching that. It was very fun. So I have it on my YouTube channel, the whole panel, and I have a little snippet on my Instagram. So check it out at Jasmine Joestar. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Fun fact, by the way, I just found out that one of my closest friends, he went to school with the person that voiced Toph, and he sent me a DM, and he was like, "Oh, I need to introduce you to my classmate that voiced Toph because like we talk all the time." And I'm like, "Excuse me, why have you kept that from me for 10 years? You've kept that from me from 10 years. I'm gonna smack you the next time I see you." So hopefully I get to meet her. I don't know what's going on. So we'll figure that out. So that's awesome. Ada, where can we find you on the socials?
You'll find me probably only on Instagram because that's where I'll go ahead and post and share stories. But you can find me at Fad Lil Emmy. I do have a TikTok, but I only use it to scroll and look at other TikToks. So that doesn't really serve a purpose. But again, if you guys want to dive into knowing more of me, Instagram at Fad Lil Emmy.
Nice. I also have that TikTok for the same reason. I have like 5 TikToks and that's it. I'm like, I stopped. That's just, it's too much work. I could never be a social media influencer. I'm too
I'll
old.
be honest, I don't know how to use TikTok.
It's so
So that's
confusing.
why.
It's so confusing. I need help. I need an adult. And then Eric, finally, where can we find you on the socials?
You can find me on all socials, on all gaming platforms, everything at Heartless 7. That's HARTL, the no, wait, no, HARTL, the letter 3, SS7. I forgot for a second. It's fine. It's late.
Yeah, if anybody's confused, just go to any of the
You'll
non-talk
see.
posts. They're all there. We're all tagged. But yes, if you can find me on Instagram, I also am also only on Instagram at City of Stars 13. I post funny stories occasionally. Sometimes I post. I'm an elder millennial, so social media is just not my thing. So it's just I can't handle it. If I ever get an assistant to do my social media posting, then you'll probably see more posts from me. So, anyway, other than that, thank you all so much for joining us. Thank you again for tuning in. Be sure to join our Discord to keep the conversation going, as well as subscribing to all platforms at Nom Talk Network. Tune in to our Ace Ventura Pet Detective on Monday. They'll be doing a Nonwatch review. Until then, I'm your host, Jordan, and I hope you all have a nomorific evening. See y'all later.